The Great American Trio is made up of Celeste Shearer on French horn, Jim Shearer on tuba, and Dina K. Jones on piano. They will perform a concert featuring the music of composer James Grant at the UTEP Fox Fine Arts Recital Hall Sunday, May 6th at 7:30 p.m. The concert will also feature the world premiere of Two Lovers' Dream by Memphis composer Tom Clary. Here to tell us all about it are pianist Dina K. Jones and tuba player Jim Shearer. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you.
It's so nice to meet you both in person. You know, you're the type of people I hear about, but I haven't actually met.
I know. It's so nice to meet you too, Marina. It's the first time that we've had a conversation like this through the radio station. So thanks for having us today.
So tell me about the Great American Trio. How did you all come together?
I had a show for many years called the Great American Tuba Show. And we'd go out and do community concert type things, and I was just trying to promote the tuba and commission a lot of new literature. I did a few shows that were the Great American Trio Tuba Show plays chamber music, and we started commissioning a lot of new things for horn, tuba, and piano because my wife's a horn player. And
That would be Celeste.
Then we met Dina, and we made an album called Haunted America Suite, and that was the first time we really worked with Dina, and it was just such a perfect fit that we morphed it into always doing horn, tuba, and piano trio stuff. So we've commissioned a lot of new music, and now we're branching out, and we do solo stuff, duo stuff, trio stuff, all in the same kind of community concert show, and we're trying to make a very new music but accessible music type show.
Now, Jim, you and Celeste are Las Cruces based.
We are.
Is that true?
Yes.
And Dina, you're here in town?
I'm El Paso based.
So yes. How do the mechanics work? I mean, I know we're not that far apart, but
yeah,
there's got to be some coordination.
Yeah,
happening
here. No, we just set our schedules, and we are just blessed to have great facilities both at New Mexico State University and at UTEP.
And we have pianos at our houses.
In our houses, so they know my house, I know their house, and then usually we have some nice meals together. Lots of great conversations, so they really are truly dear friends and awesome musicians. So yeah, the logistics are easy.
It sounds like you're just hanging out.
Well, and I play in El Paso Brass, so I'm down here all the time with El Paso Brass. Celeste and I both occasionally sub with El Paso Symphony and do other concerts. So we're down here a lot. Dina comes up and plays a lot. So we're all, it doesn't matter where you are, you're in the wrong town. You're going to drive up and down I-10.
Right. And you all really have it figured out, because I think, you know, some people think it's hard to be a musician. Yes, it is. But you guys are constantly and consistently playing.
Mm-hmm. That's it. You know, it never stops. It's like one project ends and then you're ready for the next one. And it's a life process, a life journey. And I find that exciting.
It is. We're in a good situation, both Dina and I especially, because we have sort of the university as patron. So we have the freedom to do things like this. We don't always have to go out and make money. We can play new, commission new, interesting music and have the support of our universities to go and do this sort of thing.
Well, let's talk about that. Did Tom Clary find you the composer, or did you find him?
Well, I'll tell the Tom Clary story. Tom Clary is the pitmaster for my barbecue team, the Count Basie Porchestra.
The Count Basie Orchestra. That's
Porchestra
genius.
With a P.
Porchestra. Even better.
Tom is a phenomenal trumpet player and musician in Memphis, Tennessee. He's an old friend. I just busted his chops. Hey, man, you need to write a thing for horn, tube, and piano. And sure enough, about a month later, it showed up in our email, and there it was. So he's an old friend. Jim Grant has been a composer friend for many years, and I didn't really meet him in person until a little after 2000. And when we started working more together on group commissions, he does a lot of consortium commissions. And we've gotten to be better and better friends over the years. And now he's got a beautiful place up in Canada, 3 hours north of Toronto. We go live with him in the summers. He's got a big cabin up there, so he's got to be a good friend. Dina has to come up. She hasn't made it to Canada yet.
I just met him via email, and he's a wonderful personality. Jimbo, right?
Yep, so Jimbo.
Jimbo, and Jim and Celeste keep telling me about he and his wife and the wonderful meals that they have. So, yeah, I'm ready to go to Canada.
But that's the best thing about what we're doing is it is a hang. You know, it's good friends getting together, making very uncompromising music that we want to make.
Does he, at this point, since you guys are friends, is he ever composing for you with you in mind?
Or sure.
You are
bet.
You all picking up his pieces?
Mm-hmm. No, it's a mix. Celeste and I are in a new group commission right now. It's for 10 duos, horn and tuba with percussion. That's a group commission. Other things like this project, most of the horn pieces started their lives as other pieces. And on personal request, Jim has reworked them for Celeste to play.
Am I guessing the Two Lovers' Dream, that's the piece that was especially composed for you?
That was written specifically for us, yes.
Can you give us, I guess, descriptive words of what we're going to feel here?
Well, I don't think I'm not going to let Jim steal the thunder, because there's some really very sweet program notes about that piece in particular. It's a very romantic piece, right? Two lovers dream. But there is a piano part along with the horn and the tuba.
Yep.
So, yeah, we won't say any more. Everybody has to come to the concert and read the program notes to know a little bit more about that. But it's a really charming, unique piece for Jim and Celeste and Dina on piano.
It's pretty. It's movie music. You'll love it.
Okay. So just go see the show.
Just go see the show. Yeah.
And when we can, we like to do educational outreach. Seriously, we like to do a concert in the school somewhere, middle school or high school, during the day, work with kids, and then play our concert at night.
I mean, you both seem to be natural, well, players, but teachers. It seems
sure.
It's a part of what you do and who you are. It must be fun for your students to see you actually do your thing. Do you get that feedback a lot?
Yeah, my students love it. They're forced to hand out programs for the concert and dress appropriately. So,
well, a lot of Dina's students learn to turn pages, too, which is great.
Nice. A dying art, actually. But I think it's important that they see their mentors doing what it is what we're trying to teach them. So they love it, and it's nice to feel that on the stage. Yeah, sure.
I have a big question for each of you, and you can decide who goes first. But how did you pick your instrument?
Wow, that surprised me. My grandmother had this little organ. It was like this air-generated organ. It had these buttons with a C chord and then just like eight notes or something. And so I was 3 or 4, the story of my family, that I could pick out melodies.
Really?
Mary had a little lamp and pushed the right button on the side. So my parents put me in piano lessons, and yeah, it just was always my thing.
That's pretty cool, because, you know, you hear a lot of young people put in classes and then they don't like it, but that's clearly not the case.
Yeah, there's a picture of me shoving my brother off the piano bench. Like, this is mine, get away. He was a clarinet player, but no, it's just always, I think it just called me, you know?
Now, what about you, Jim?
Well, you know, nobody picks the tuba.
No, that's not true.
It's not true. I got suckered into it. I actually started. I started early. I started on the flute. I started in third grade. My dad was a really fine musician, though that was not his career. And we were friends with the local band director. And so by the time it came time to join the actual middle school band, I was way ahead of the other kids because I've been playing for a few years. I played a little piano, not like Dina, but I could read bass clef. They needed a tuba player. Hey, Jim, can you play tuba for a little while, and then we'll switch you back to flute. You know, the kids will be caught up. Well, I played about 6 months, and I made a high school band clinic. And I was in the 7th grade, and I thought, well, this is just the coolest thing ever, and I never switched back.
I mean, big man on campus, right?
Well, and honestly, there is some truth to the fact that the horn molds the human. I am truly a tuba player now.
No, I mean, that's how you're known. I mean, that's who you are.
Yeah, my wife is truly a French horn player. You know,
do you happen to know her story? I mean,
Celeste? Oh, yeah. Sure, you bet. Her dad was a band director, and in 6th grade, she decided to play the French horn. She had a fantastic band director who started her at a very advanced level. She was learning to transpose, which professional horn players do, but kids don't learn until they get to college. Celeste could do it in the 6th, 7th grade.
Just because she had that
She
neck.
Had Well, she had a phenomenal talent, and her mom was a concert pianist. Celeste was a fine pianist at a young age, and so all of that transferred over. Her dad was actually principal oboe. Oh, no, he was second oboe, I think, in the he was principal oboe in the El Paso Symphony back in the 70s and early 80s. Yeah, so it was a very musical family.
So I take it there's never a dull moment or a quiet moment in either of your homes? Doesn't sound like it.
No.
No.
Actually, there is every once in a while. Celeste forces silence.
Really?
When she comes home from middle school band, she's like, I want to hear nothing for an hour and
a
half.
You know what? I don't blame her. You guys have the sweet deals. You guys are at the university level, and she's in the trenches.
Absolutely.
That's right.
So tell us again about your show, about the composers. Let's make sure everybody's aware so that they can come out and see the Great American Trio.
Yeah, the show is Sunday at 7:30 at UTEP Fox Fine Arts, and we are highlighting mostly the horn and piano. I think it's a predominant part by James Grant, but there's also the double concerto with Jim and Celeste, and then this wonderful new piece by Tom Clary, about the Two Lovers Dream. So, Jim, do you want to tell me about the different styles on the program?
Sure. Jim Grant has about three different styles that he writes in. He is not a jazz player, but he's very jazz influenced.
Okay.
If you go to his house, you're listening to Steely Dan all the time.
Nice.
and so he has those harmonies in his head, and he writes these gorgeous, beautiful, flowing melodies. But then he also kind of turns around and he can write. It's not complex contemporary music in that it's 12-tone or wrong note and drum. It's not something you don't want to hear, but it is technically very complex. The title piece of the whole show, Sultry and Eccentric. Sultry is this beautiful jazz singer, and Eccentric is just, you have to come hear it. The title says it all. The double concerto is a gnarly little piece with a beautiful second movement, and then some of the other pieces are just pure loveliness, you know, 3 or 4 minutes of just gorgeous music.
Do you have a preference of which style you like to play,
I like all of the styles. I really do. But there's the slow, open tonality that he offers the piano, and with Celeste singing lyrical line and in the middle movement of the double concerto.
Yep.
There's just something that seems like I have thought, like, humanitarian. I really find it, once you listen to it, you feel good about life, you feel good about yourself, you feel good about this world. And so that's... in that moment, if you come to the concert, you'll know what it is, because it just makes you feel warm inside and like we could just all be friends.
Yeah, well, and this is a composer who's won the Aaron Copland Prize. So, you know, he has that trick in his bag. He speaks that sort of language.
Yeah.
He's a guy that works very personally with a lot of musicians, and you can hear that in his music. There is a real personal bent to the way he writes for people.
We're all excited to hear you all play his pieces. It's going to happen tomorrow at Fox Fine Arts at 7:30 p.m. And don't forget, the concert will feature a special treat with the world premiere of Two Lovers Dream. Today, my guests have been Dina K. Jones and Jim Shearer of the Great American Trio. Thank you so much for coming to State of the Arts.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.